next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from famous in a Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling Africa been by the home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special, and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. 3 dice Zelo, 3 card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King, yo. I'm from the Empire State. That's so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the Apple Eve, caught up in the in crowd. Now you're in style, and in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin, and Jesus can't save you. Life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. MC and May got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Wake up, no more sleeping in bed. Why? Because music is like poetry, and it has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions, and news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. I'm asking each and every one of our Quest listeners to pull back our musical curtain. And as you've just heard, Alicia Keys, right? And you get an opportunity to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make wave, indeed, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And one of the things that I'm reminded is, depending on where you or where your vantage point is, listening or seeing will determine your perspective. And ours is from an African-American perspective. Now, this week, we have our student host, as always, Justin Hill, who continues his review with his featured diamond segment, focusing on Ruby Bridges and the Little Rock Nine. He then turns his attention to define the word or phrase, Jim Crow laws and black code, something that we've spoken about, but we just can't leave it. We're coming back again, right? Well, our honored panelists will contribute the comments and viewpoints from their own perspective to add to the conversation. Now, you know, after saying all of that, I just want to say good morning to everybody. And starting with Mr. Harris, good morning.
Good morning, sir, and rest of the family.
All right. Good morning, Tanisha Gardner. Ms. Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And I'm going to hand it over to our student host. Not only do I need you to say good morning, but just take it away and begin your first segment. The real deal, Justin Hill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. And it's time for my first segment of diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Ruby Bridges. And Ruby Bridges was an American civil rights activist. She was born during the middle of the civil rights movement. She was the first African American child to desegregate the all-white William France Elementary School during the New Orleans school desegregation crisis. The court ruling declared that the establishment of separate public schools for white children, which black children were barred from attending. In 1957, federal troops were ordered to Little Rock, Arkansas, to escort the Little Rock Nine students in combating violence that occurred as a result of their decision. Ruby Bridges is very important to the world because when she went to the school, she's significant because when she went to the school, the parents and the kids, they were throwing things at her and spitting at her, and she could have ran away and went back to her old school, but she didn't. She still went to the school, to the William French School, and she did get her education. And that's it for my first segment of Diamonds, and I thank you guys for listening.
Okay, we're back. And it gives us an opportunity to chop it up just a little bit about Ruby Bridges. Now, Justin, I'm going to come straight to you. There's been a lot of presentation by you about segregation, right? And here you have Ruby Bridges, who demonstrated a lot of courage. What do you think is significant? But what are your feelings about segregation, Ruby Bridges, and just what you've been delivering as far as information about segregation? What's on your mind? What comment could you make?
About segregation, I think, segregation is still going on in the South, and, you know, it's kind of bad because back in the day, rap people couldn't do many things like on land or start businesses, but in some parts of the world, you can do that. But segregation is still going on, and like I said, it's bad.
Okay, all right, Tanisha, thank you very much. First of all, Tanisha, I'm going to come to you. Do you have a comment? And you heard what the youngest person in the room had to say.
Yeah, I guess when I think about segregation, it's so funny how people spend on words or how they give words power. I don't know. I guess when you think about our history and, you know, how we became and all the great things that we had done, you know, especially through Egypt and Europe, like with the Moors, and also, you know, just with the hieroglyphics and the different ways that we contributed, you know, to society and how we still do. And how when you think of segregation, when it comes to, I guess when we think about it, we always think of it as a negative connotation. But when you look at other communities, it's okay, you know, for an Indian to live within their community confines, or the Chinese to live in their community confines. But when it comes to us, it's like it's a problem when we want to live in our own community confines. But when we look at it, how do we make it in a holistic way where we have the financial, the military, everything else that goes on with a society to be well and to be functioning at a proper space. And to make you think of segregation now, how can one type of group of people hate you so much that they would strip everything away from you? Or like, for instance, you know, with when they bombed the town, it's like what do you do in those type of situations? And especially, you know, Ruby Bridges, it says that when she was younger and when she was walking through the crowd, she felt as though it was the Mardi Gras. And I think that's kind of deep for her to say that, but not knowing when they were shouting and throwing things, it wasn't because it was a celebration. It was because of hatred. And they said the former United States Deputy Marshal, Charles Burke, later recalled, she said that she showed a lot of courage, and she never cried and she never whimpered, and she just marched along like a little soldier, and they said they was very proud of her. For her to be able to see something at the age of a kindergartner, I think that's very powerful, and she still makes waves today.
Okay. Mr. Harris, comment.
Well, yeah, first, you know, I want to say I agree with Tanisha and the real deal, you know, but we had to understand that at the time, it was the youth of our country that really had to take the forefront of the civil rights movement, because if the parents had done that, they'd have lost their job, they'd have got maybe kicked out of their house and whatever. So a lot of the onus came on the younger generation, and they picked up the mantle and did what was needed. And like Ruby, she was really exceptional. And another thing, we have to really understand that this wasn't ancient history, because Ruby Bridges is only 2 years older than me. You know, so we talking now, during our lifetime, you know, and these are things that we have to understand, that these type of things are happening now. The types of laws and stuff that were passed were the same kind of laws that they're trying to pass now, with the gerrymandering of the voting laws. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but it was always the children. Like they had the children march in Alabama with those hoses and dogs set on people. People thought those were adults, but those were high school kids that were being rounded up doing all that stuff. And it's important to understand that, as in the past, it was the youth that stood up to make sure a lot of stuff got done. The youth still has that same type of power today, you know, if they're willing, like I said, to pick up the mantle and, like, take it forward.
Okay.
You know, they, sometimes all they right. say that that youth yeah. is wasted on the young.
Well, we have examples where it hasn't been in the history of our people and the struggle to overcome adversity. And I'm reminded of the four, because since you mentioned Alabama, the four little girls who were, where the church was bombed, we celebrated, well, not celebrated, but we acknowledge in history and memory, just last week, the Alabama bombing and the four girls who had to bear the brunt of the burden of hatred towards African Americans in this country. And that comes to mind. In any event, we have more content, more information, but right now we have Stevie Wonder. the melodic music of Stevie Wonder. And now I turn it back over to our student host, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it's now time for my segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is on the Jim Crow laws. And the Jim Crow laws were laws in the South based on race. They enforced segregation between white people and black people in public places such as schools, transportation, restrooms, and restaurants. They also made it difficult for black people to vote. After the Civil War, there was a period in the South called the Reconstruction. Before Jim Crow laws, there was segregation, which was the same as Jim Crow laws. And segregation was basically where black and white people couldn't go to the same places. And then there was integration. But they made a new law called Jim Crow, and the white people were still trying to make sure that black people still couldn't have many things like owning land. And that is it for my segment of definitions. I thank God for listening, and this is student host Justin Hill, WSOU.
Chance's girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there were 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Thank you.
sign of the times. It's something that we have had to deal with as a reality as African-Americans living in America. And it's something that we continue to do. The struggle continues, in fact. And I'm reminded of when Justin has just completed his definition segment, right, of the redlining and, as Mr. Harris said, the continuous thing of gerrymandering and what's going on today as if it's repeating itself. And it is said that when you don't learn the lessons of history, then it can repeat itself. And I think that a lot of people have become complacent in society where the debate is, should we participate in the electoral process? Should we vote? And if we don't vote, if we do vote, the question is, what are we going to get? And my answer to anyone who says that is, if you don't vote, you can be guaranteed that what you get is not going to be what you ask or want. Anyway, I said a whole lot to kind of get that out of my system, right? But, Tanisha, I'm going to come to you first and ask you, what do you think about, you have any comment about the definition presented by Justin?
Reparations. Like, where is the reparations? We have so much evidence that proves that reparations is due. Like, it baffles you. Sometimes you don't know what to say because it seems like it's the same rhetoric over and over again. But I know with rhetoric, the only way things can change is that you have to put momentum behind it and put the actions behind it. So the more that we put behind it, the more it will change and the more that it will get better. I don't know, to me, I don't think segregation is wrong. Like, to me, I feel as though if you choose to live in a community that's mixed, you live there. And if you choose to live in a community that's predominantly one ethnic group, I don't think it's wrong. What I think is wrong is when you don't have the same quality of life as any other community. And I think that's where the hardship comes. And you deliberately create laws to sterilize or put down a particular group. And that is an atrocity. And as they say, as I always say, as the reason why evil flourishes, because good men do nothing. The more that we fight against these type of atrocities and these incidents, things will change and they have to change. And you have to demand respect. Respect goes a long way. And as a human being, we all deserve respect. And in that notion, we have to really start delving in into the changes that we need to see within our own communities and start healing our own communities. And like you said, that we go to the voting blocks. So people don't realize just because you vote someone in, you do have the power to vote them out. And we do have power. Maybe we have to take it to the United Nations, take it bigger, because it's a human right, especially when it comes to housing or anything else that we do in education. Like you said, we have to take back our power. And if they don't want to give it to us, we create our own. And I think that's why we always have to tie back to our history of the past, because if our ancestors did it and they built pyramids, And they built foundations of education that is still used to this day in the foundation of America, that speaks volumes. And we need to tap into that energy to be able to recreate the things that we need within this lifetime.
All right. That's a lot said there. Ms. Gardner, thank you very much for your contribution to the conversation. Mr. Harris, not to be undone. Take it away. You have a comment.
Yeah, first let me say, right on, sister, that you definitely hit a lot of that stuff right on the head. When it comes to Jim Crow, excuse me, man, when it comes to Jim Crow, we got to understand the time that the original Jim Crow came in. A lot of the people in America had not considered us human beings. So the fact that the law says, okay, y'all human and y'all can do stuff now. And they was like, nah, man, not in my neighborhood. And, you know, and this is what caused a lot of these Jim Crow laws. And this is what caused a lot of the blockage of us being able to just do our own thing. But we were so excited about trying to be part of their community that, you know, we got mad when they said you had to do stuff for yourself. So then once we accepted that fact that, okay, we'll just do stuff for ourselves then they got mad because what you were doing was a lot better than what they were doing. So they, you know, just like they did with the COINTELPRO, they infiltrated a lot of the organizations and a lot of the communities where we were doing stuff for ourselves. And they helped bring that type of organization down to the fact where we wanted to be part of their community again. And now we're getting the same kind of Jim Crow 2.0. You know, it's the same thing all over again. They don't want us in their community, and we still not fact that we can build positive communities amongst ourselves. And this is the dilemma we had. Like you were saying, if you don't learn history, you'll be forced to repeat it. And I think a lot of that's going on now. And we need to look at the past. That's what Sankofa means. Look at the past so we can see what our future is going to be.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris, for that input. There's a lot to be said. But right now, I'm going to hit you off with a little elements, earth, wind, and fire, in particular, September.
Bye.
Okay. Now I'd like to turn it back over to our student host, Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you. And like you said, it's now time for my next segment of diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past selves, the pain of your mother, the tears of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, you are bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on the Little Rock Nine. And the Little Rock Nine came to be known, were to be the first African-American students to enter Little Rock Central High School. Years earlier, following the Supreme Court ruling, the Little Rock School Board pledged voluntarily desegregate its schools. 15 days later, a federal judge ordered the National Guard removed. Though escorted by Little Rock police into a side door, another angry crowd gathered and tried to rush into Central High. Fearing for the lives of the nine students, school officials sent the teams home. Each day, the nine teams were harassed and threatened by many of the white students as they took small steps into deeper. And the reason why I chose the Little Rock Nine, my diamond segment, is because they were like Ruby Bridges, because they did go to a all-white school, and Ruby Bridges and the Little Rock Nine, they were being threatened, and they didn't back down. They still went to the school. And that is it for my segment of diamonds.
Yeah, the sound of Philly. You know, love is the message in our background. And, you know, I want to send some love out to the Little Rock Nine and Ruby Bridges. And I just want to say to you, Justin, you mentioned that, you know, they showed courage as they, you know, walked into those schools in spite and overcoming that adversity, that it wasn't just students protesting against them integrating the school. It was the parents. These grown people were actually out there cursing and you know, defaming these young people as they attempted to integrate that Little Rock school in Arkansas, right? So these are adults that were spewing their hatred. And that being said, Mr. Harris, the Little Rock Nine, do you have a comment?
What? Well, yeah, you know, but my comment was more about why they're trying to change the curriculum and stuff in schools. They call it critical race theory, but it's actually just telling the truth about what's going on in America, because the United States is really good at making everything look lovely, no matter how bad it is. And critical race theory is, they're saying that this is going to hurt the little white kids that hear stuff like this, but they take into no consideration the fact that they were actually hurting little black kids and breaking their hearts, you know, and they didn't want to know that their grandparents were the ones that was actually doing that. The same grandparents that plays with them in the backyard, they're the same ones that were spitting on Ruby Bridges. You know, this is why certain things have to be self-taught, and we got to stop depending on the school system until we're in charge of it to teach our kids about the things that's going on in their lives. And that's why, you know, each one should teach one, and it's up to us to teach our own history to our kids. So
okay,
the Little Rock Nine, Ruby Bridges are just examples of that.
All right. Thank you. Tanisha Gardner. Ms. Gardner, comment. The Little Rock Nine.
Yes, from Arkansas to New Orleans. Yeah. Wow, from kindergarten and then high school to students. That's something very powerful. I don't know when Mr. Harris is talking. I don't know. It just made me think about Vlad the Impaler. And it's so funny because that's the case. We shouldn't tell history at all. Yeah, because history is very deep, you know, and it's just something to take into consideration. Like you said, how does adults hate children, or, you know, or what goes through your mind? What kind of person are you? And these are the people who are ruling our societies. That's why it is the way that it is, and that's something to really look at and delve into. And how do we change these stigmas? And how do we deal with people that are so narcissistic and that don't have a soul? That's something to think about.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think we have four different generations here on this line. And I'd like to pose a question to each and every one of you, including our student host. And that's, when was your first experience? And this, you know, Justin, I do know that you live in a different generation, right? But what was your first experience of hatred or someone calling you out your name using the N-word? Mr. Harris, do you have an experience that you can recall of your first instance or experience with hatred or being called out your name?
Yeah, it was when I was a teenager. Because I was forced to go to a school in Pennsylvania that had that didn't allow black people in it, so I was helping to integrate the school, and it was the adults in that school really didn't like the fact that me and my friends were there, They wouldn't blatantly just call me the N-word, but I can hear the tone in their voice where they really didn't want me there. And this was even including the teachers that were supposedly teaching me. They was like, oh, well, you know, I know this is a little hard for you, and, you know, so we're just going to you shouldn't worry about going to college. You shouldn't worry about doing this. These are my guidance counselors in high school. And I'm like, really? But luckily, I came from a foundation at home. And the first thing my grandmother told me is, don't let these white people think they're smarter than you. Because they're not. It's just more of them. And she was the one that really led me into joining the Black Panther Party as a teenager. You know, because they said Black Panther Party said you can't fight racism with racism. Only way to fight racism was with solidarity. And these are the things that we're not teaching our younger generation, because everybody wants to go out and do their own thing, when their own thing should be our own thing. And as soon as we get to that point, then I think a lot of things will start moving in the right direction.
Well, my response to that comment is, wow. All these years that I've known you, I've never known that you joined the Black Panther Party. Wow, incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, did you tell that in my conversation?
Yes. but let me stay on task, right? And Tanisha, I'll come to you, but my first experience of being called out by name, believe it or not, I was about 5 years old attending daycare while my mom was working. And it was a little white kid that called me the N-word. And I literally came home and asked my grandparents, you know, who was tending to me while my mom was at work, right? They would drop me off and pick me up. And, you know, I told them about it. And, you know, it was a big deal. You know, I don't know what, if anything, you know, was said in my behalf, right? But that was my first experience of being called out of my name at such a young age. And I didn't even know what the hell it was, you know. You know, let me just tell you, you know, I didn't know what a nigga was. You know, I'm laughing now, but it is indeed no laughing matter. But many a truth is said in a laugh. But anyway, Tanisha, do you have a recollection of a time when you faced hatred in your lifetime?
Yeah, when I was in high school, when I was on the basketball team, we was playing Hawthorne, New Jersey. It was an all-white school. And we had to go to their campus. And when we played there, the team called our coach, because our coach was white, so they called her a nigger lover, and then they called us monkeys. And then they end up getting disqualified, so they couldn't play no more for the season. So I guess to say that, even though people might do wrong to you, eventually their karma will catch up with them. You know, like you said, it's always polarity. You have negative and positive. You give out negative will come back to you, and that's what happened to them. They end up getting disqualified. So I think that's the things that we have to remember. Like Mr. Harris said, like, yeah, we have to stay focused because love rules all, you know. But at the same time, you have a right to stick up for yourself and be around people who wants to love, because it's so many different cultures out here, and it's beautiful. Their cultures are beautiful. So why would you take away from one to gain another? And I think that's something to really think about, you know, moving forward. How do we build love? How do we build communities, whether it be segregated or non-segregated? It's just about the respect and the level of that you don't go out and kill people or make them seem less than. That's not the right thing to do.
Okay. All right. Well, Justin, you heard the different experiences that the panel here has had, including myself. So the question is the same for you. Have you experienced any hatred from other people towards you?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, that's a beautiful thing, right? And that being said, you know, we live in a different time. And right now, I'm going to reflect back to what Tanisha Miss Gardner said, and it's about love. Cut into the song, everybody. Justin, running to your last segment. I just lost track of time, right? the real deal, Justin Hill. You have another segment for us, and then we got to get Mr. Harrison here for the curtain segment. So we're just going to go back to back. Justin, take it away.
This segment provides the wish with words and the meanings that we can achieve together, common basis that so we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition segment is on black codes. And the black codes, sometimes called black laws, or laws governing the conduct of African Americans. Black codes were codes where restrictive laws designed to limit the freedom of African Americans and ensure their ability as a cheap labor force after slavery was abolished during the Civil War. Black codes restricted black people's right to own property, conduct business, buy and lease land, and move freely through public spaces. And that's it for my segment of the definitions and update. And I think we got
to hold on to. Always know that love will find.
All right. Take it away, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, our curtain today is Sister Alicia Keys. And she founded a foundation called Keep a Child Alive. And it basically committed to empowering children and young people with whatever necessary resources they need to help build their confidence and help them have opportunities to reach their full potential and live a happier and healthier lives. You know, it's mainly not as much in the United States, but he deals with people around the African diaspora in Kenya, Rwanda, South Africa, India, you know, you name it. And her program is really innovative. And she started this 20 years ago. You know, to be a young sister already, she was kind of young when she put this stuff together, and she needs to get her flowers for that.
Okay. Thank you so much for your input and your comment and your participation and the sharing of your personal lives to each and every one of you. Justin, I'd like for you to close us out. And as we leave out the door, we'll be listening to a song titled Fallen by Alicia Keys. Close us out, Justin.
I want to thank everyone for joining us live on 89.5 FM on the campus. And make sure you tune into our next show Saturday. And Questy Radio is the best
radio.